home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Today, between the reading from Philippians and the Gospel according to John, we have examples of true disciples and a false one. Let's begin with Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul's pile of poop. That's how one of the commentators about today's proper or scripture readings entitled his comments, referring to today's passage from Philippians, Paul's pile of poop. In this letter, Paul expressed his affection for the congregation he had established in the urban center of Macedonia, a Roman colony. He also confirmed his confidence about his own new identity in Christ. Speaking of his privileges as a Jew, he wrote, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more." He was circumcised on the eighth day, according to Jewish law. He was a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, hence a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As a Pharisee, he was devoted to the law. And as we know, he persecuted the church with zeal. By the measure of the law, then, Paul had lived a blameless life. Knowing Christ, however, made Paul regard all of these privileges as loss. They were valueless because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, he said. Paul regarded all of these other badges of identity as rubbish. Now, the New Testament was written in Greek, as you know. And the Greek word for rubbish that is used in this passage does euphemistically mean poop. In titling his comments as he did, the commentator was not joking. Judas wasn't joking either when he chastised Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. "Why was this perfume not sold and the money given to the poor?" Judas didn't care about the poor. He said this because he kept the common purse and used to steal from its deposits. Mary had bought a jar of nard, a very expensive perfume, which is imported from the Himalayas and comes in an alabaster box. It was pricey stuff. Judas may have been less angry if it had been purchased through Amazon. It is the expense of the fragrance that is emphasized in the New Testament. Mary spent that costly perfume on Jesus' feet, not selfishly, not in a flashy way, or in a seductive way, but in an act of deep love and adoration. She and her family were friends of Jesus. They were friends and disciples. As he was on his way to Jerusalem, we know that Jesus foretold his death to the disciples. Some had a hard time understanding what he meant. But it seems that Mary did understand, and she acted on it. Jesus had restored their brother to Martha and Mary. It was an extravagant and extraordinary gift, calling Lazarus out of the tomb, bringing him forth from death. At a dinner the family gave for Jesus, Mary's gift to him was also extravagant by the standards of the time. Without saying a word, she acknowledged that Jesus would soon be giving up his life. Jesus may have thought, "Thanks be to God that someone understood me." She would not be able to raise him as Lazarus had been raised from the dead. But she could help him to be prepared by anointing his feet with the finest perfume and drying them with her hair. In doing so, Mary incurred the wrath of Judas and probably uncharitable judgment by others at that table. Nevertheless, she persisted with Jesus' consent. It was a guileless gift of love and adoration from a true disciple. Imagine a continuum of discipleship, with Judas at one end, Mary and Paul at the other. In your observance of Lent and self-reflecting, which end are you intentionally moving toward? What is it you're hoping to change, or become, or do? What am I hoping to do? Between Paul and Mary, we have two faithful and true disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Neither bound by worldly privilege or social expectations. Each bound to their Lord and ours by love of and faith in Jesus. Grant to us too, O God, grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found.